And it's time now for a trip beyond the headlines with Peter Dykstra. Peter's an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. Hey, Peter, we haven't spoken since before the holidays. Happy New Year, and how's it going?
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and everything else, Steve. You know, it's been a while since we talked, like you said. And one of the things that happened during the break is that Ryan Zinke, the controversial Interior Secretary, resigned. And that got me thinking about Ronald Reagan's scandal-plagued picks to run both Interior and the EPA. It was the same playbook, slashed regulations, crushed agency morale, reduced budgets. But at least Ann Gorsuch, Reagan's EPA administrator, and James Watt, who ran the Interior Department, were able to last into the third year of Ronald Reagan's presidency.
That's right. And of course, Ann Gorsuch brought up Neil Gorsuch, her son, with us today as the Supreme Court Justice.
And Scott Pruitt remained off the radar since his resignation from EPA back in July. He's reportedly working as a coal industry consultant now. He's barred from working as a lobbyist for 5 years as a former cabinet official. But both Pruitt and Zinke left a trail of unfinished investigations, some of which are falling into the lap of the Democratic-controlled House of Representatives.
Well, yeah, let's focus on Zinke. I think he's spending a lot of money on lawyers these days.
He is. It's unclear exactly how many investigations popped up. There are things like lavish expenditures on his office, lavish travel expenditures, security, and some shady deals involving real estate and his political cronies.
And some of this stuff is really pretty serious. It's not just optics. The Justice Department is looking into it, right?
Right. There's a land deal in Ryan Zinke's hometown, Whitefish, Montana. It involves Zinke and the oil industry giant Halliburton. And that one may trail Zinke well beyond his departure from government.
Hey, I think I recall Whitefish as the location of that two-person firm that was briefly hired to oversee the rebuild of Puerto Rico's entire electric grid after Hurricane Maria.
That's right. Whitefish Energy was hired for $300 million. They were quickly dismissed because the two guys in Whitefish, Montana were not up to the job. But they've gone on to snag other more modest federal contracts, raising eyebrows, not raising any other inquiries. Which brings us to another revelation about EPA. Each of EPA's 10 U.S. regions is snoozing at the enforcement switch. They dropped enforcement actions by 7% in EPA's Midwest region to 77% right here in the beautiful Southeast. And there's a similar decline in pollution fines that the agencies collected.
That's a rather inelegant way to try to reduce the federal deficit, Peter, I would say. Hey, what do you have from the History Vault for us today?
Oh, well, you know, this is a story I really love, but it's the 100th anniversary of the Great Boston Molasses Spill, which took place on January 15th, 1919.
The molasses spill. Oh, yeah, that's right. In downtown Boston.
That's right. Sounds funny until we remember that 21 people died when 2.3 million gallons of molasses poured from a ruptured tank, it crushed buildings, it buried a city block. It smothered those 21 people and an untold number of horses. An absolute tsunami of molasses in January, and one of the most unique environmental tragedies in history.
Well, thank you, Peter, for that sticky story. Peter Dykstra is an editor with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, Steve, thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
There's more on these stories at our website, loe.org.